have explored the specific needs of our various bodies, emotional, spiritual, mental, and we have also dug deep into our beliefs and belief structures. We have come to understand how our emotions affect our health. In fact, our emotions create the path that leads to our discovering what ails us. And although the invisible bodies that are part of our wholeness must be healthy in order to achieve the expression of health in our physical body, too, has certain aspects it must do in order to maintain health. The goal here is to assess where we stand physically and discover what areas need attention, correction, improvement, or modification so as to move towards better health and well-being, while the invisible parts of us or bodies are supporting the regaining of health every single step along the way. Our physical body has certain simple requirements that help to ensure its health, and having a better understanding of those requirements helps take the mystery away. There's no secret as to what it takes to be physically healthy. We know for a fact that proper nutrition is a must, and most people have a pretty good understanding of proper nutrition. If you don't know enough about how food affects your weight and your health, then you need to get informed. There are many excellent books out on the market, nutritionists, websites, and other experts that offer valuable information and can help you get going. Be cautious about what some books recommend and do not set a weight goal that is impossible for you to reach. Take into consideration your genetic disposition and concentrate more on the ideal weight for maximum health than just being thin. Before starting any weight reduction program or changing your nutritional intake, consult your physician or health caretaker and get informed. Remember that time is on your side. You didn't gain the weight overnight, and you don't have to reduce it overnight. Weight gain happens through time. Reduce weight slowly, as slow as 1 or 2 pounds a month, by making minor modifications on your daily intake of food and being a little more active. 2 pounds a month adds up to 24 pounds a year and 100 pounds in 4 years. The best thing is to reduce slowly, comfortably, and permanently. You don't need to experience the process as a sacrifice. You're simply making minor adjustments to your eating habits through time, and as you know, time flies. You will, in the process, have converted bad eating habits into healthy eating habits that you also enjoy. Every year will be over sooner than you think, and every year you will be 24 pounds lighter. The key is that you believe that you can reach your goal wholeheartedly, because when you do, so many other areas of your health will get better. Your bones will feel better. Your heart will improve. Your pancreas will start functioning more effectively. So many things get healthier and healthier when you reach your ideal weight for maximum health. And I'm not the expert here. My colleague, Dr. Ray Jimenez, is going to be joining me during this segment to talk more about the needs of the physical body, and he can tell you a lot more about nutrition than I can.
Thank you, Lara. The main thing that I think is important for people to maintain their health is to look at issues of diet and lifestyle. You know, if we could take diet first, this is so important. There are so many things in our environment that are going against us from a diet point of view. This doesn't mean go on a diet. This is not about that. This is about what you're eating and what the quality of things is that you're putting in. The human body is very much like a car in the respect that the fuel that we put in is going to equal the performance that we get out. If we want a body to function well, just like a car, you can have the best body or the best car around, but if you're putting kerosene in it, it's not going to run well. So when we look at some of the foods that we eat sometimes we are kind of putting kerosene in. One of the biggest offenders that we have are the synthetic type foods, especially the chemicals that we add to foods and things like that, they're really not of much value to us nutritionally. Some of the principles that I give to patients to use for diet are, you know, first of all, let's keep it simple. Let's not try to read 18,000 different books about this. So number one, what do? Let's not eat white things. That's pretty simple. White things include sugars, that include starches, things like that. These are the kind of things that are going to stimulate our glycemic response, going to make our blood sugar go up and down. And that in itself is a stressor. And that is one of the things that we need to keep under control as far as controlling our stresses. The second thing that we want to do is don't eat things in packages. Well, is there something inherently wrong with packages? No, that's not the problem. The problem is that the things that we put in packages to make foods stay in their packages include stuff like trans fats and hydrogenated fats and colors and flavorings and things like that to preserve the food in the box. So if it's in the box and it doesn't have anything, that's fine. But what we're trying to avoid is partially hydrogenated soybean oil. We're trying to avoid these fake foods that your body doesn't make heads or tails of. It doesn't know what to do with them. It's not that there's anything inherently wrong with them. It's just that the enzymes that your body have fit like a lock and key. And what you've done is you've taken a reverse image key and you're trying to make it go in the lock. It won't work. So your body doesn't know what to do. It has to either expend a lot of energy to get rid of these things, or it has to pack them away in your fat cells and get rid of them. So packaged foods can be a problem. The third thing that I tell people is something that I tell them after I get the next question is, well, if I can't eat white things and I can't eat packaged things, what else is there? Well, there's a lot out there. First of all, close your eyes. Go to the Garden of Eden. If it's in the Garden of Eden, you can eat it, okay? That's what we're meant to eat. We're meant to eat things from nature. We evolved along those lines, and if it's there, it's good to eat. There's a lot of things in there that you think, well, you know, I should be able to eat this or that, but if you give it that test, is it in the Garden of Eden, it's good to eat, because if it's not there, you don't need it. You may end up eating it, but you certainly don't need it. The fourth thing that I tell people about diet is leave the guilt out of it. Guilt doesn't really have any place in the diet, and it's just going to make you do things you don't want to do. So let's leave that out. The fifth thing is a 90-10 rule. 90% of the time, do the first four things. 10% of the time, give yourself a break. You might have that little thing every once in a while that may not be so good for you, but, you know, that's okay if you're only doing it 10% of the time. At least you're thinking about things, and then maybe the next time you can say to yourself, no, I'm not going to do that this time. So those are the main things that I give. Let's take an example of something. What about bread? Well, bread is white. It's out. Okay, wait a minute. What? It didn't come in a package or anything like that, and wasn't it in the Garden of Eden? Well, no, it's not in the Garden of Eden. The grains might be in the Garden of Eden, and you might choose to grind up the grains and make your own whole grain bread, but I don't think you're going to do that every day. I think that's going to be a little 10% kind of thing that you're doing. So I wouldn't advise putting that into the mix with you, because bread, in fact, is actually a long chain of sugars that presents to us as starch. In addition to that, there's a lot of other things in bread that you really don't want. But I know I mentioned that one because that was my weakness. I do like bread. I love bread, but it's not going to help us because it's very high in its glycemic ability. So if we can stick with those kinds of things, we can allow the body to do what it needs to do. We have to have a good digestion also. The digestion is very important, and the digestion is always at risk. Unless you have never had any kind of an antibiotic, if you've never had any kind of a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, if you've never had any alcohol, if you've never had any sugar, unless you're one of those people, then basically you probably have some impairment in your digestion. And it helps to make sure the digestion works well. That does not mean taking some of the drugs that are available out there, such as the purple pills or the antacids or that sort of thing. We need to have a good, strong digestion. We need to have acid production. It is our first barrier to infection in the gut. The other thing that we need to do is to manage our sugar, like I was talking about earlier with the issues of white things. The main thing is that this sugar goes in and causes your blood sugar to go up and down, and this affects your adrenal glands, your stress response glands. And if we can keep that down to a minimum, then we will not be in a breakdown state. When the adrenals or the stress response glands go into a fatigue state and we have a lot of cortisol being released, we're literally in a breakdown. A catabolism is what that's called. We do not want that to go on for long. It never was meant to go on for long. You were meant to have a few stressors during the day, and then you were supposed to rest, and that would be the end of that. Nowadays, we not only have stressors with the diet, but we also have stressors all the way around us, and they're going on all the time. And this is one of the reasons we see a lot of adrenal fatigue. Once the adrenal glands are not working, not much else works either. The thyroid's not going to work. The hormones aren't going to be in balance. Any of these other systems in the body, they all will go on a holding pattern if the body feels like its only option is to survive. And that's what we're doing when we're in a constant prolonged stress reaction.
Ray, I know people who really want to eat in a very nutritious way, but there's just some foods they have a really hard time giving up. What do you say to them?
You know, just take one day at a time. Tell yourself that, yes, I like that. Yes, I want that. But, you know, today, this time, just this one time, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make a better choice and do the thing that I believe to be the right thing with my diet and with my nutrition. If you can do that, maybe the next time it's a little easier. You can't do everything at once. And that's why I tell people the 90-10 rule. Because it gives them a little bit of an out. It gives them a little bit of an avenue to where they can kind of, quote, cheat a little bit. But I don't want people to really cheat. I want them to just look at it honestly. And if they're going to do that, then do that. Realize what it is. Be honest with yourself and say, I understand that's not good for me, but I really want to do that right now, and I'm going to do that despite that. That's called an informed decision. And if you're making an informed decision, then I'm behind you. But let's try to do it in that 90-10 perspective. You know, let's try to keep these decisions that we make down to a minimum. A lot of these issues with foods are very much like addictions to drugs. I tell a lot of patients that, you know, sugar is a drug. It's really not a food. In fact, it's a white crystalline powder that we extract from a plant. It is psychoactive. It creates a dependence. It creates a withdrawal syndrome, and it really has no nutritional value. So it's not giving you any nutrients that you need. It's just giving you a little sugar rush, so to speak. And after all, isn't that what we call it, a sugar rush, just like we would for any other chemical that we might ingest as a drug? So I think you have to look at it in that way, and you have to do a little bit at a time and work your way. You can't do everything at once. You have to realize that you have to wean yourself off of certain things because they are very much like addictions. I've seen lots of patients have terrible problems coming off aspartame. Technically, it's not supposed to be addictive, but I find it to be very addictive in a lot of patients. And to stop from 6 Diet Cokes a day down to 0, you're asking for trouble. You're just going to get into issues of withdrawal. And that's going to affect your mood and your judgment and all these other things, and so you might not be making the best decision at that point.